This morning, we are going to come to the end of our five-week study, a little mini-series in which we have been reminded that all of God's people have front lines for God. Those places where we stand as representatives for Him, as ambassadors, as witnesses, the places where we live, where we work, where we play, where we have interactions with anybody, anywhere where we act as that bridge between heaven and people on this earth who don't know God. Frontline positions. I've been talking about bringing this series to us for well over a year. It's taken time to get here, but there is reason for that. I believe it's been strategic, not just for me trying to work out what is the right time to bring this, but because I believe God has been preparing us for a transformation and a message He wants to bring to us. He's been speaking to us for some time, teaching us who we uniquely are, the church that we are, and our unique context in which He wants us to live for Him. And in all of that, God has been revealing things to us. In 2016, it really started for us as He called us to stop being busy for Him. Not just to be running around doing things, but stop, come back and wait on the Lord and listen. That was the process of rebuilding the altar in which we gave God His first and foremost place amongst us. And we waited and we listened. And then in 2020, COVID arrived and our building departed. And so God challenged us about who exactly we are for Him, but revealed new things to us, revealed a new way of seeing who we are and our mission and our purpose for Him in this world. We were not using the words front line, but we were starting to grasp the concepts of this. And then in 2021 and 22, we started to look from right in the beginning of scripture in Genesis, how God reached out and pulled His people and led His people, chose them for a purpose, how He led Israel, brought them out of captivity in Egypt, how they crossed the Red Sea, a line that they were not to go back against. Remember that? And how He then journeyed with them. And this year, we've taken that understanding of journeying with God in the everyday circumstances in a new direction, as we started to think about what it is to be pilgrims, the whole of life as a pilgrimage for God, with God, on behalf of God. In other words, I'm suggesting that in all that time, and for the last 3 years in particular, God has been calling His people and teaching us that's how He wants us to operate in this world. People called to a purpose in ordinary life. And I believe many of you have got that message already. But frontline studies have helped us to hang some terminology, some clearer understanding on the framework of who we are as God's people, how we live out there in the world, not just when we gather. So we begin to break down that secular, sacred divide to understand our whole life being called for Him. And as we looked at then frontline, some of the words that we've used in the terminology, terms like elect and exile have helped us to just clarify our thinking on the subject and begun to teach us of how God wants to use us. To use us as the red dots in a sea of grey. Do you remember that? Do you remember this image from the very first week when we started to look at this? The six red dots, representative of the 6% of people who go to church at least once a month and gather as a church community in some way or other. The six red dots, the church. But we've been understanding through these recent years, and particularly with Frontline, that God doesn't want us to be just like this, tucked away in the corner. That's the old, more traditional church model. But rather, that being church means engaging with God as we are scattered everywhere in the world, making all the difference in those contexts, wherever we are, whoever we are, whatever we do. Those are our frontline positions. That's what God called us to. He called us to go into the world and make disciples. He called us, as Philippians 2 puts it, to shine like stars in the darkness of this world. Did you notice in that first diagram? Did you notice when we're gathered together? Did you notice how many grey dots are in contact with the red dots when it's like that? There are just four of them. Did you notice how many grey dots are in contact with the red dots of God's people when we're scattered? Well, I'll do it for you. There are eight around each of the red dots. Do the maths, and it is 48. That's 12 times the contact. Now, we've always been in those positions, but now we're beginning to understand this is where we are God's people. This is where we engage for God 12 times. That's a good biblical principle, a number, isn't it? Which brings us to the final session of this subject. How do we get to continue being effective as the red dots out there scattered in the community? How do we keep the red dots shining for God, influencing, sharing, speaking, making disciples? And it comes as we start to then influence the people around us. You notice the colors that start to come as we then, as God's people, do what God is asking us to do. How do we do that? How do we become so much more effective in that setting? Well, it comes as we gather together as the red dots, and we grow together, recharging the battery, listening and seeking. If we are going to be fruitful when we are scattered on the front lines for the long haul, then we need to be faithful in gathering together. And that's what this final session is about. So where do we find something in Scripture that helps us to grasp that principle of coming together being so important to equip us to be out there? The Bible has got so much to say about our relationships as the people of God. There's so many passages that we could have gone to, but one of the things that Hebrews 10 does is it starts that discussion of our relationship and our need to be with one another with God. It starts with God. It starts with the good news of Jesus. And it seems the only place we can really finish our series looking at the importance of being out there on the front line to come back to God leading his people. God being the motivating force that holds us together and who equips us. Our lives then enabled to be lived in response to what God is in doing in us through Jesus. So we gather to equip one another, to encourage one another in that process, to remind one another of the full story of the gospel, the blessing, which is what all your prayers were about this morning, of Jesus and what he's done for us. And then we take that, and that is what grows and allows the flame to burn for us, for Jesus, in our everyday lives. So the point of this passage is that God starting that off in us is such a crucial thing that the passage says it's important, it is vital that we meet together to encourage one another in that process. And our times gathered as a church are there for a fantastic opportunity, not just to come back to the heart of Jesus being the center of our being, but to then remind us to, if you like, cast the vision of the purpose of God, which is for whole life discipleship, following and sharing of that great message of good news in the everyday settings that we find ourselves in. What we practice together as a church is what we then live out in our everyday lives. And that's what we come together for, to help one another do a series of things. Actually, I've got three short things for us to think about that come in this passage. First thing that we do as a church family is we help one another to hold on to our faith, to hold on to the hope that we have in Jesus. That has to be the center of who we are, because that's the center of our message, to hold on to this. There are an awful lot of things that will tempt us to give up following Jesus, or at least grow cold in our faith, for the red dots to start to grey out a little. But what we come to do together, what the writer of Hebrews encourages us to understand, is we helping each other to hold on to that. And three ways that we might hold on to this. First, he reminds us, he urges us to draw near to God. We don't gather on a Sunday because this is a lovely social setting. This is a place where we can be less lonely. And I know a lot of people gather in churches up and down the country for that purpose. That's an added bonus. When it will start to make a difference, a real difference, to more than just loneliness, but to life that will deal with loneliness, is when we recognize we gather and draw near to God. In the Old Testament, that was only done by priests on a select series of occasions. What Jesus has done, he's enabled us all to come into his presence. His death on the cross has broken that barrier, illustrated by the curtain in the temple that only the priests on a select occasion could go into the holy place. Jesus broke that, and in his death on the cross, the temple was torn from top to bottom, a symbol of our ability to come into the very presence of God. That's what we do on a Sunday, which is why I put so much emphasis on our worship time today. That's what we do as we praise and we worship God. We don't come just because we've got a whole series of hang-ups. We don't come just because it's all about us and what we want God to fix for us. We come because we walk into the presence of God. We draw near to God, first and foremost. But it does more than that. That's not the only thing we do as we come together. We come to remind each other that we have an assurance of our faith. He speaks about that as we focus on Jesus, as we give him at the center of our focus, so we discover who we are as a result. That's what our songs were doing when we make Jesus the center. That's what your prayers did. As you praised, you were actually lifting Jesus, and you were doing that for everybody else on that screen that was with you this morning. So our prayers, our songs, our hearts offered up to God bring Jesus to the center. And we're reminded, we're given assurance of our faith and what he has done for us. And that's what we can then take out as we are the red dots in the world, what we point to. And the third thing in holding on to our faith is we experience peace when we come with a heart that is very heavy for whatever reason. We come to a place of healing and we come to a place of forgiveness. That was spoken of as we discover that we've been sprinkled with his blood. We need to remind ourselves of that, don't we? How many people stop coming to church when they've done something that they feel makes them particularly bad before God in the week? And on Sunday, they don't engage with the church. I don't feel worthy. But when we come, we realize, hang on, Jesus has paid for that. He's purified us. We're reminded of that covenant relationship, his faithfulness that we've sung of today, his forgiveness. Our bodies being washed with pure water is what the writer was getting us to understand. Washed reminds us of that with our baptism, doesn't it? Us stepping into a covenant relationship with him. That God sees us. Do you remember the words that I spoke to you? They were from Ephesians at the beginning of the service. That in Jesus, God has clothed us in such a way that he sees us in the righteousness of Christ. That's what happens. So these things come together. We draw near to God. We have assurance of faith. And we come and understand we are cleansed, washed, forgiven, renewed. And we help one another in that. That's what your prayers do. That's what your encouragements do together as we gather. So we hold on to our hope. The other thing that the writer in Hebrews said that we do is we spur one another on to love and good works. Spur one another. That's a strong word, isn't it? So it seems a strange word to use, particularly when it's linked with love and doing good works. But spur that speaks about inciting or provoking, challenging. I use the word challenge all the time. We spur one another on. It's not about bullying. The strength of that word is not in a sense of force, but in the sense of importance, the importance of demonstrating love and putting good works into practice. That's what the Hebrews writer is about. And this is what we can share as red dots in our work on the front lines. We are spurred to love others, to the good works that allows the people around us to start to glow themselves as they experience the blessing of God in their lives, in their situations. So a little bit of God shines into them to that point when hopefully they discover him fully for themselves. But in pressing on in that works to love and to show good works, it can be tough going. We can easily grow weary of doing good. And let's face it, people can be ungrateful. They can even manipulate our offers of kindness. It can be abused. Our best efforts may not seem to lead to lasting change. And there will always be voices out there. The enemy will constantly seek to stop your activity and trust that God is working. But remember, we, like the people of Israel, were called to be a blessing. We do our bit, and that enables God to do the spiritual bit, to make something happen, where our simple words and understanding and them looking at us as who we are, well, that's never going to be very impressive, is it? But as the spiritual dynamic takes place, God speaks through us. It can be easy to give up on that. It can be easy to become self-centered, and the world will whisper at you, you look after yourself first. This is not worth the pain. No one else is doing it. You're not having any impact, so just quit. Oh, how easily I could do that and just walk away and do something less painful. But God calls us to love and to good works and to share himself. And the writer of Hebrews recognizes that we help one another in that process by not giving up, to keep that challenge in front of us. So I want to ask you a question, and I'm not asking you to actually unmute yourselves and literally answer it, but I do ask you to think about this just for a minute. What does that look like in our church? What does it look like for us to spur one another on to love and good works? How are we already helping one another? Be attentive. Hang in there in the purpose of sharing the Lord, of witnessing to other people. How are we doing that already? Can I give you a couple of examples of how I think we are? You are. Hope she doesn't mind me sharing a name specifically, but Janet has been through tough times just recently. Her mum passed away recently, and Tuesday was the funeral. And Janet was honest enough in our gatherings, in tea and coffee afterwards, and in our prayer times, to share. This was really tough for her. But what we were able to do as a church was not just hear that, but then encourage her to keep going and pray for her and send her out into that week, this week that's just gone, which was tough, with every blessing in Jesus. We were able to spur her on to keep going. Someone else has had a tough time in their work situation and has been questioning where things stand and as personnel move around. I won't go into the details, but they shared that, and we were able, both on Thursday in our prayer time and in our on other occasions, especially for coffee, we're able to recognize the challenge and spur that person on to keep going and to trust God to lead them and direct them. The circumstances can be overwhelming, so we come together to spur one another on. And I believe that that's what we do when we gather. You know, on a Thursday, first and foremost, I always start our time with God, focusing on the Lord. You call it, if you wish, tuning back in to God from wherever we've come from the world. Our focus is Him. we allow our spirits to connect again with God so that we have that sense of his heart. And we start our prayer times with that. But then people will add, do you know, this is what I've been struggling with. This is something I've got to do that's not easy. And then with people who are attuned to God's heart, we can encourage and spur them on. And that's what our time afterwards with coffee can do. Which brings to the final point that is mentioned. Oh, this is important. That we keep meeting together. I have emphasized again and again in recent years how I believe God is calling us to be his people out there. How important it is. Front lines has all been about recognizing where we operate on the front line for God. But please don't hear that that means we can just abandon the gathering. And these verses in Hebrews say just that. Do not stop meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. It is tough to keep going out there alone. God has given us the blessing of a church family. You know, we're not a church association. We're not a social club. We are a family, the only eternal family you've got. No blood family is going to guide you and give you spiritual direction from God unless they too are God's people. This is the church family gifted to you by God to encourage you and lift you. We don't always get it right, but we can try to. Do not stop meeting together. Here's the bottom line. If in our gathering, this is the place where we are reminded of the core elements of our faith, where else are you going to be reminded about them? If this is the place where we're reminded of those, if this is the community that will help us to remain faithful to the purpose that God has given us to be witnesses in every context that we find ourselves in. And if this is the community that will affirm the significance of where we find ourselves from Monday through to Saturday, if in all of that, this is the community where those things come, then it is vital that we meet as that community. Can't tell you the importance, the message that it gives when you meet for coffee or for prayer and you effectively send a message that says, I'm here for you. I'm not just here because I want you to hear my gripes, but I'm here to listen to you, to hear you. I'm here because you are worth listening to. The gathered place where we worship the Lord and listen to one another is where we teach and guide and challenge and equip and encourage and love and then send each other out to be the people God's called us to be in those places, tough as they are. You can survive and you can do that on your own. You know, I was really interested by that statistic of 6% of the population who come to church, who gather in some sort of church gathering setting at least one Sunday a month. Wow. Interesting that that's how it's defined where we've got to. You can do it alone. And actually, there are people who God calls to live in the desert places alone. Through history, there have been people called to that. But my goodness, they are very few and far between. And the people who are able to survive in the desert, you know, there is always water and there is always food, but you need to be trained, a special kind of person to survive in that. And none of them end up overweight. They're all skin and bones and wearing rags. It's a tough place to be. And I believe the message of God is to say, but I've given you a church. Come and feast at the table that I have prepared for you. That's what we do. So the final message of Frontline is, if you're going to survive on the front line, if we're going to be the people God wants us to be, then come and feed at the table in the first place and go out with a meal that sustains you for what is coming. Because that's what God wants to bless you with. Let's watch our final video for this series. What happens to those four people that we've been looking at in their front line? What happens when they come together?
Gathered.
Welcomed.
Celebrated.
Restored.
Gathered together.
Encouraged.
Supported.
Loved.
Reminded who God is.
Hearts awed by His majesty.
Eyes seeing fresh.
The wonder of grace.
Thankful for His awesome, unwavering love.
Reminded who I am.
And all I have received.
Challenged.
Equipped.
Renewed.
Commissioned.
Ready.
Sent.
I believe that that is what God wants for us. We're going to pray in a moment about sending us out, about being the people He's called us to be. So how do we put that into practice? And can I just remind you, when I spoke about, I think this is a message God has been giving us for some time. Do you remember this image? Shared this in week one as well. We, the pieces of the cake, this was a picture given to us as a specific church in our context about 6-7 years ago. Each of us, the segments of the cake, ready to go out with the flame lit, the red dots in the image. But the flame is lit when we come together. And the cake that we take out is full of goodness that's intended to bless people, the calling of God for all of His people. But the contents of the cake are only put together when the cake is together. God equipping us to go.